our hand this morning. I'm going to go ahead and just shed this jacket right now and get that over with. You know, I don't know why I even wear these things. I take them off soon as I get up here. I think it's just kind of a respect thing. It's out of respect to the Lord. But if it wasn't for the Lord, you know, showing respect like that, I'd be fine in my overalls and a shirt, you know. And the Lord, Brother Branham talked about that's the kind of gospel that we have. He said, you can take a man that wears a shirt and tie, and he can hug a man in overalls. He said, you can get right together and love one another. Amen. We serve a good God. He's mindful of us. And I've got the scriptures for her on the multimedia. If she'd like to help me with that. We want to speak to you this morning on God's provided way. How many knows God has a provided way for us today? Amen. Amen. There's a provided way for healing, provided way for salvation. You know, anything that we have need of, there's a provided way to get that need. We want to go to Isaiah 55, and starting in verse 1, we want to read through verse 11 this morning. Isaiah 55, 1, verse 11. I love the noise of that. I want y'all to listen to that. You know what that is? That's Bible pages turning. I always like to hear that, you know. It's good for us to you know, read our Bibles at home and to be familiar with the Scriptures. Amen? Where we fellowship with God enough through that where we can find our way in the Bible. You know, as a minister, you've ever had those moments whenever they call a certain opening text and you know that text, you know that Scripture, and you're flipping back and forth and back and forth and you feel like everybody in the church is looking at you. Well, I'm a minister, and I've had that happen to me before. I know where this is at. I love it. Listen, people, let's turn the scriptures in the Bible. Amen. Let's go ahead and start reading in verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that you knew not, these shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, Lord, and we just thank you for this opportunity to be in service, Lord. I ask you to help us, Lord, to receive exactly what you have for us, Lord, that you have need of giving us this morning, Lord. We love you. We seek you with an open heart. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to read just one quote. It says, and I read an article in a magazine one time when I was on an airplane, and it was about Hollywood. And it said that life begins after midnight. You should come down on certain streets and certain things. And they had a picture of the burlesque and so forth that goes on. And I said, how perverted that is. You see, Satan has a kingdom. He's got to have a false economy. He's got to have something that he can present to them to make them think that they're living. But it's absolutely on the vice versa side. It's death in the form of life, see? It's a perversion from real life because let us settle this in our minds once and forever. There's only one way to have life. That's right. And to know Him is life. And that's the only way you can have life. And no other way can God has promised life through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read one scripture, and that's in St. John 7, verses 1 through 3. He says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, to whom Thou hast given." Many people say, "I have eternal life," but the Scripture says, how do you know when you have eternal life? It's when you know God. Now, many people can say, "I know of Brother Daniel," but there's very few that truly know who I am. And the same thing, people know about God, but there's very few people that truly know God and to know who He is. To know, in the Greek word, it says gnosko, and it means a prolonged form of a primary verb, to know absolutely, in a great variety of applications with many implications. It means to allow, to be aware of, to feel, to have known, to let, to perceive, to be resolved, can speak, to be sure, and to understand God, to know God and to understand God. There's many people today that say, "I have life," and they can look at themselves, and in the worldly aspect of it, you've got a group of people that are, they make good money, they make all this good money, and they have a nice car, they've got a nice house, they've got all these things going for them, and they say, "This is life." You've got many that will go out and they'll drink in their parties, and they're socializing, and they have something inside them. It's a God-given thing on the inside to want brotherhood. That's why you have gangs. There's something on the inside of them that wants to be of a brotherhood. It's something on the inside, but it's God put that inside of a unity for the bride of Jesus Christ. But there's something on the inside that makes them want to belong. They've got all these clubs you can go to. You can be of the golf club, and you have to be of the elite member. There's something on the inside of man that makes him know, "I'm supposed to be elite. I'm not supposed to be just standard. I'm the best." It's a God-given thing on the inside because we are to be the elite bride of Jesus Christ. They've got everything from football teams and all these things. What is it that inspires a man to want to be on a football team? It's because he wants to belong to a brotherhood that supports one another. "I got your back, brother. Don't worry. I'm going to protect you." It's something on the inside that God put inside them, but it's to guide and protect one another. Amen. God put a natural desire on the inside of us to watch over one another. But see, God has put that desire in us, and Satan will take that God-given desire and cause us to pervert it for the world, and we'll use it for a football game or a golf game. Not saying there's nothing wrong with football. I like playing football in the yard with the kids. But it's keeping things in the right perspective. Is that right? God puts a natural thirst in a man. In your physical, He'll put a natural thirst in you whenever your body has a need. He'll put a thirst in you, and this thirst inside of a pregnant woman will say, "I want peanut butter and broccoli. I gotta have it. It sounds disgusting." And next thing you know, she'll be dipping in pickle juice. And she'll say, "It's so good." And the guy will look at us, "That's disgusting. What is it?" There's something on the inside of her that has need of pickle juice and broccoli and peanut butter. She don't know why. The doctor don't know why. But there's something on the inside of her that says, "I need it." There's a deep call to the deep on the inside that says, "I need broccoli, I need peanut butter, and I need the pickle juice." And if there is a deep call on the inside for those things, there has to be a broccoli out there somewhere. There has to be a peanut butter out there somewhere. There has to be a pickle juice out there somewhere.
God put the desire in your heart, and if God put a thirst in your heart for those things, there has to be something out there to respond to that call. Amen. And that's the same way it is when God puts a God-given thirst inside of a son or daughter of God for a brotherhood. He'll put a God-given thing on the inside of you. He says, I want to belong. I want to be a part of a team. I want to be the elite of God. God put the God-given desire in your heart. But there's got to be something out there, an original thing to respond to that call. Not just a substitute, but the real thing. I could give my wife and say, I need broccoli, and I could try to give her carrots all day long. It won't meet the need. Sure, it might fill the void. Sure, she'll be full, but the need has not been met. God puts a desire inside of man for worship. A man inside him to worship God. It's a natural God-given desire God will put inside us, and Satan will give you a substitute to fill that, just like trying to give you carrots to fill the broccoli. God puts the desire in us. Amen? And in the natural part of this, and I've got to build this big foundation to get where I'm wanting to go, so just help me pull over this, okay? God puts His natural desire in you to have these things, to be of this brotherhood. And see, man has a way of being impatient. We don't like to wait for anything. We can have a microwave to cook food, and it don't cook it fast enough. Back in the day, they had to build a fire and stick a stick through the fish and stick it over the fire and roast it and hope you cook it right. Things have changed, but we're so impatient in man. We want instant results. Instant results. Speedy burrito, or that bueno bread. What do you call that? Speedy burritos. You know, fast foods. Fast this. Fast that. We're in a hurry. We're in such a hurry. We want fast results. But how many knows when you get fast results, a lot of times it don't amount to nothing. You're getting poor quality of food. You go to these big buffet places, and me and my wife went to Furs the other day, and it's the most horrible food I've ever ate. I don't like to bash restaurants or anybody, but that needs some bashing. They need some new management. But they go there, and they've got all this food, and it's about fast process, fish, just throwing it out there. The steaks out there and all this food out there, and there's nobody taking the time to do good diligence to get good food. Have you noticed anything you go to, it's hard to get good quality service in anything anymore? It don't matter what it is. If you're going to a mechanic shop, they won't give you good quality service. And you can find it, but it's very hard to find it. If you go to a restaurant, it's hard to find someone that will give you good quality service. It's the spirit of the age. But man wants things fast. He wants things quick. And it's the same thing with growth. Men want, they don't want to go through the sacrifices of doing the due diligence to get the quality of athleticism. That's why they've got supplements. How many seen supplements? Anywhere you go. 90-day process. Eat this pill and you'll have the results. 30-day trim. All these different things. And all these fast, quick responses. And people think because they have fast, quick responses, they've gained ground. They've gained what they're supposed to do. And they even went it to as far as fast foods, as far as chickens. They want fast, because they've got fast food, they've got to have fast growth of chickens. They put these hormones inside these chickens. They'll put steroids inside these chickens. A chicken that's supposed to be about this big, it's about this big, and he looks like a turkey rather than a chicken. And he's under half the age because he's so pumped up with steroids. I remember we seen one time he fell out of the truck going down the highway. And he was flopping around on the road, and my grandma's got the biggest heart in the world. And she made it stop. And there we were right beside that road, and she was chasing that chicken. And she caught that chicken up, and she held him in her lap, and she said, oh, now. And she said, and she was just petting that poor thing. We're going down the road, and she's got that poor baby chicken in her lap that we just rescued. And she's got that grandma's love on the inside of her. She said, you know what? She said, that poor thing's scared to death. Look at him. He's just trembling. And that thing, have you ever held a chick, what a chick will do? If you hold a little baby chick, that chick will just bob his head all the time. Have you ever noticed that? A baby chick will sit there and just move his head all the time. And this full-grown chicken was sitting in her lap, bobbing his head. He was a little baby He was just a baby that had been injected with all these steroids on the inside of him. And he was so scared. And he was put in this cage, and he got thrown down there. And he was just a young one. And see, that's what those steroids do. It makes you where you grow out here so fast. But in here, in your mind, and in your heart, you're just a baby. That's what this world has come to, is injecting fast growth on the outside, but there's nothing, no intellects at all.
Right.
And that's why, even in the message of the hour, people who want fast results, quick injections of, you can have the entire quote message on a computer, and you can pull certain quotes out, and you can talk about a lot of subject, but you have no idea what you're talking about. Is that true? In the Bible, it's to a point where they can talk, quote, different scriptures, different things about a lot of things, but they have no idea what they're talking about. That's why people say, Jack of many, but a master of none. Man that knows a lot about a lot of things, but he can't master on anything. We're talking about fast results and hybrid foods and fast growth. Even in the message church, or not the message church, in the church world, we've talked about the natural. I'm going to show you in the spiritual. They have got same thing, hybridized food going into the churches.
Right.
To where you can organize it like a business. And you can have the outside beautiful. Huge buildings, lots of people there, huge growth. I want you to imagine with me the big chicken. He's really big. He's really big on the outside. They make fast growth in a church. The church will explode. Big buildings, all these things going through, but there's no life. You say, oh, there's life because there's a lot of people singing. When we read about eternal life, did he say, this is life eternal? Powerful worship services. Is that what Jesus said? This is the sign of eternal life, is huge building programs. What did he say? He said, this is life eternal, to know God. To know God. Amen? Scripture says that many will come to him in that day and say, Lord, I have prophesied in your name. I have done good works in your name. I've cast out devils in your name. I've done all these works in your name. And Jesus will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Life eternal is to know God. God. A man can preach the gospel, cast out devils, and go to hell. Remember, the disciples were together and they were rejoicing among one another. They said, who's the greatest among us? Because I cast out this devil, I did that. Who's the greatest among us? We are so great. Which one is it? Is it me? Is it you? Is it me? And Jesus was over here and says, mind you, Judas Iscariot was right with them. Judas Iscariot was with them casting out devils. Judas Iscariot was out there doing great works. Judas was right there with them saying, who's the greatest among us? And Jesus is over here. He knew their thoughts. He knew what they were talking about. He says, rejoice not because the devils are subject to you, but because your name is written in heaven. You think about a man, Judas Iscariot, casting out devils, doing all these great works, doing all these great things, had the Holy Ghost on the flesh. And then sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Amen. I mean, knows I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Get your Bible, read your Bible. You'll find out it's right in Scripture. Amen. In Revelation 3:1, it says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, that he that had the seven spirits of God and seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but thou art dead. And this is a quote from history that I had pulled out. This is a quote from history. I want you to listen to this. I thought it was very profound. Was there ever a message of sterner irony than this to the church of Sardis? Thou hast a name, that thou livest, and thou art dead. We may suppose that it was a church of apparent prosperity, with all the machinery of church life, its rituals and officers and committees,
all in working order. Think about this. This is a church that would look like it was huge and prosperous. It had the church life, its ritual, officers, committees, all in working order. And yet when one got at the heart of it, there was no vitality. It was a dead church. It could show, as the passage was, no works fulfilled before God. It was like a tree which seems all vigorous, but which when one thrust into the heart of it, proves to be pervaded by dry rot. There are plenty of such churches still. Churches which have a name that they are living, but are dead. They are counted in a denominational yearbook, but they go through the motions of life. But where is their quickening, communicating, vitalizing power? What are they but mechanical, formal, institutional things? And how sudden sometimes, like the falling of a dead tree, it collapses of a dead church. That's in history. Even history is looking at that and back at the Sardis is saying, these people, this is a group of a church that has all the signs of a living church. But whenever you go to looking deep within it, in the same way you look into a heart of a tree, you find old doughty wood. Brother Brim talked about doughty wood. He says he was walking through the woods one time. He said he seen an old log, and he stepped on top of that log, and his foot went straight through. It was rotted on the inside out. On the outside of that log, it looked strong and powerful, but on the inside, it was full of doughty wood. Friends, I don't want to be strong on the outside. I want to be strong on the inside. Because when you get that inside strong, the outside will become strong. Is that right? Amen. I'm going to keep moving. There's a false economy in the world. In the food and in the church. Whether it's eggs, chicken, vegetables, or births. There's a false economy in the world right now of a false economy. If people were to really be able to look behind the curtains and see where our economy's at right now, I'm telling you what, they'd be living a lot more different than what they're living right now. I'm telling you, friends, the economy in the world right now is so shaky right now, it's the grace of God that's keeping it where it's at right now. And that's the honest truth. I don't say that to scare you. That's the honest truth. The economy is so shaken right now, we're so in debt as a nation right now, that we are printing money nonstop. Your dollar bill you've got in your pocket, that's not real money. That's just a certificate that represents something else. That's right. It's worth less and less and less. It's a false economy. It's a false hope. When that Great Depression really breaks through, your dollar bills in your pocket won't be worth nothing. You say, but I've got all this paper money. Look at all this money I've got. It's worth all this money. That money represents something else, friends. And it ain't got nothing to back it. It's a false economy. And they'll tell you we're coming out of the Depression. There's people that are coming. Unemployment has decreased. People are getting their jobs. People are doing all these great things. You know why the unemployment rate is going less? It's because they've exalted their benefits and they can no longer extend anymore, so they're off of the unemployment. That's in the natural economy. In the spiritual economy, we've got a church of a worldly church that's presenting people that's saying, we're okay, we're rich, we're thriving in the Lord, we have life, we have the grace of God. Look at our building that we've got. Look at the programs that we have. We have life. And people are supporting that. They are looking, when you talk to a person that wants a lot, they want to look for something where they see a lot of growth really quick. The young people want something where they have young people programs all the time. They want basketball programs, football programs, all these different things. They're looking for something. They're looking for life. But you know, God has a provided way. Amen. God has got a provided way. It's a false economy. Brother Brown says, the life isn't right in hybriding. God wants it in the way that He made it at the beginning. So the church has been hybrid. And now it comes to a place where the church is more like a lodge than it's like a Pentecostal blessing. The scholars are more educators than they are preachers. They are more of a place of getting great scholarship. Our pastor has a great doctor degree or something like that of theology. And they cannot breed themselves back. Remember, corn that's been hybrid can't breed itself back. You take corn from the grocery store, plant it in the ground, you won't get nothing. But you take an original kernel of corn, you stick it in the ground, it'll bring forth life. Amen. As beautiful as it is, they cannot come back to themselves. How would you? They cannot cross themselves. You try to cross a Methodist with a Baptist and see what you got. You got a worse renegade on you head in the first place. That's right. You can't. You got a dwarf. That's right. You plant hybrid corn, it'll come up out like that and turn yellow. There's no life in it. That's the reason it can't produce. And that's what's the matter with the church today. It hasn't got any life in it. It's got a lot of show and a better class of people. They call bigger grains, finer buildings, more scholar preachers, but no life in there to reproduce new babes. Churches nowadays, and many of the churches, they won't even let you preach unless you've got a license from them. It shows that you are a minister for their organization. They asked me to come minister several times. They said, but you got your ministerial license? I said, well, I said, I've got it from Eternal. I got it from the Eternal before the foundation of the world. I was with Job. I was shouting with joy. I said, come on, boys, let's worship him. Amen. If you're a preacher, you're born a preacher. Gifts and calling are without repentance. If a prophet is born a prophet, that's right. And you'll be a prophet afterwards. Remember Samuel? Whenever Saul called upon Samuel after Samuel had passed away. You remember that in the scriptures? Saul wanted a blessing from the Lord, and he went to a woman with a familiar spirit and said, I want you to call on Saul. And she didn't know who Saul was. She called on Saul, and Saul was dead. Saul rose up. Remember what he had? He had a mantle on him. He bald head, he was still a prophet. He said, if God told you no, what are you calling me for? There ain't nothing I can do. See, a lot of times people want to run away from sin and they say, I don't have to live that certain way. This preacher says I have to quit cutting my hair, or I have to quit smoking, I have to quit my dipping, I have to quit these things. This preacher preaches and he says that it's an abomination to the Lord our God for man to wear garments to a woman, or woman wear garments that pertain to a man. And people, and they say, but these are women's pants. If I was to come up here today in a polka dot dress and I say, this is a man's dress. Don't you judge me. This is a man's dress. I got this from the men's section. I'm going to ask you, does that make that a man's dress? Come on, does it? No, it's a perversion. Scripture says, I'm telling you, that's the scriptures. That's what I love about this message. We take it all right back to the Word. Amen. They say, but this preacher, he preaches against the way I dress. He preaches against the way I live. He preaches against the way I talk. I'm going to go to this other preacher over here, this other church, because they don't preach about those things. They let me live any way I want to, and they say, let's just worship God and let's praise God. And they'll say, from the service, I felt so blessed. I was in there and we worshiped God, and I felt no condemnation about cutting my hair. I felt no condemnation about taking my dress off and putting pants on. I felt no condemnation. I could wear all the makeup I want to on my face. No condemnation. Did you know there's one person in the Bible, one woman that wore the makeup in the Bible? Who was it? Jezebel. And the scripture says that God fed her to the dogs. That's right. Read your scriptures. One woman in the Bible wore makeup and God fed her to the dogs. And these women will go to the other church and say, I can worship God freely. I feel no condemnation in my heart. You know why? You walked away from the grace of God. Friends, don't ever let ourselves come to a point to where that penetration of the Holy Ghost does not enter in and check our spirit when we get out of line. Amen. Because I'm telling you what, we're living in it at a day where he's going right there. Their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Their conscience has been seared where you can preach the gospel no matter how powerful, and the Holy Ghost will come knocking on people's hearts to get right and get that new birth, but they reject it so much that they're just seared with the hot iron and they can't even feel it anymore. And people say, but I will go to this other church because this other preacher, he don't preach against those things. Remember what happened whenever Saul went and called on Samuel?
He said, what are you calling me for? God said don't do it. You better quit doing it. I'm telling you what, friends, God, there's a rapture coming real soon. I'm telling you, there's a rapture coming real soon, and people are depending on a false economy and a false hope to get there. They're looking in the wrong place. What is life eternal? To know God. And better yet, to be known of God, where God can search your heart, the reins of your heart. No, Jesus was with his disciples. Many people say, I know God and I love God. I could take you right now up to the bus station, right now. I take you over and ask some people, do you love Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I love Jesus with all my heart. And you have to really hold your breath because the cigarette smell is so strong. Not to condemn the man, but sin is sin. Amen. But he'll sit there with whiskey in his hand, drugs in his hands. He'll say, do you love God? Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a born-again Christian. Yeah, I love God. And people will say that they know God. And like I say, I'm not condemning sin. It's sin, okay? And if you want to take it really back with the prophet, he said, sin is unbelief. And those things are the attributes of unbelief. And many people will say, I know God, I know God. Jesus was talking to the disciples. He says, who do they say that I am? Talking to people around him. And the disciples say, some say thou art Elias. Some say thou art Jonas, or one of the prophets. And Jesus put it real narrow. He pointed right at him. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Jesus said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock shall you build your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He asked him, he said, I don't care about what they say I am. Who do you say that I am? You individually, you, who do you say that I am? Eternal life is to know God. Not about him. To know God. Where it's an intimate relationship where he has come into my house. Preach this over Wednesday night. When, you know, a lot of people want to be a Christian, they don't want to go to hell. Because they're scared of going to hell. I mean, who wants to go to hell? No hands went up. See, people, well, that's the big thing. Everyone wants to be a Christian because they don't want to go to hell. And see, if I was to invite one of you to my house, and I say, come on inside. And I'm going to pick on somebody else today. I've got Colin with me today. My good buddy Colin. I like him. He come into the house, and he said, all right, come on in, Colin. You come in the house. And he steps in. He's like, oh, I feel so welcome. I said, now stop right there. Don't you be touching my sweet tea. Okay, stay away from the sweet tea. He goes through there and he starts to sit down out of my chair. Okay, I'm going to sit over here. And he starts to go to the restroom. Don't go to the restroom either. There's a tree behind the house. I'm going to tell you what, real quick, this guy's going to be saying, I'm ready to go home. I don't feel welcome here at all. But you know, that's a lot of times the way we do the Lord. When we say, Lord, I've accepted God in my life. But when God comes into our life, he comes into your heart and he begins to work on you through the ministry of the word. And the word starts cutting and molding in your life. And we say, nah, wait a minute, nah, don't be touching my sweet tea. Don't be going into that room. Don't be going into that house. We want God to come into the house to a point, but we don't want him to change our lives. We don't want him to change because my normal routine would go and sit on my recliner and put my feet up in the air and drink my sweet tea. But if I had somebody else sitting in my recliner, I can't sit in my recliner. You can sit in the recliner anytime you want to. Just let me know. Because it changes our normal routine whenever the guest in the house is coming in. And that's the way it is with us, friends. When we have God come on the inside and he starts molding in our life, we can't walk in the same old routine we used to walk in. Is that right? Amen. Praise God. It's an excellent portion, great step to invite the Lord in. But we want him to search the house. Amen. Praise God. So we want one more quote here. Look at this prophet Isaiah standing there, a man, intelligent man. A man was thought well of by the king because he lived with Uzziah the king, which was a great man, tried to take a preacher's place one time and went in and got smitten with leprosy. And that's what I told the businessmen. Listen to this now. That's what I told the businessmen. Don't never try to take a preacher's place. No, sir.
You stay right where you're at, see? You do your work, what God told you. If you're a finger, you never be an ear. If you're an ear, you'll never be a nose. A nose and eye, see? You stay in your position. And one of the big things that's happened in the church life is businessmen have stepped up and they try to run the church. A businessman will step up and he'll put a huge offering in the church, but it comes with strings attached. I'll put this offering in the church, but I have a say-so in this church because I put money in here. I'm talking to you reality. This is what's going on. Businessmen want to run in there and they can say, they can sit in the meetings and they can say, you know what, we don't need to preach certain things because if you preach those things, people are not going to come in. Bring them in and just let God clean them up. That's what is the common saying. I believe that to an extent. Do let God clean them up. But how many does God use as preachers to preach the word? Amen. You heard that message the other day on the broadcast, trying to do God a service. David, anointed king, all the people shouted and screaming. It was right, but he never consulted God's prophet. And a man died. The whole thing was marred. Don't try to do God a favor. You wait till with God's term, let him come in his own way of doing it. I'll start this big thing. I'll start that. Be careful, brother. Now, David knew better than that. Nathan was in the land in that day. He wasn't even consulted at all. Think about this. A prophet was in the land. A provided way was in the land. And they didn't even consult the prophet. See, he consulted captains of hundreds and thousands. All the people shouted and screamed and danced. And they had all religious motions. But this wasn't in the line and order of God's word. And it failed. They had a prophet in the land that they could have went to and consulted. But they didn't go to the prophet. They went to their friends and said, what do you think about it? What do you think about that? Oh, I don't think it really matters the way you dress. I don't think it really matters the way you do it. As long as you love God in your heart. As long as you do a good thing. As long as you live right. That's all that matters. You don't have to listen to all those things. They didn't go to the prophet. They went to their friends and consulted their friends about it. What do you think about the matter? Anything else that's not in line and order of God's word will fail. Only God's word will stand forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Man's always getting a good idea and consults his own thoughts. Have you ever noticed the biggest failures come from a big idea? Some good ideas are good. You know, a man had an idea to sail the ocean to see if there was a land over there one time. That was a good idea. You glad he did? You just think you pay taxes. Live over there, you'd really, really be paying some taxes. It's okay to have good ideas, but see, when you get an idea, we got to take it back to the provided source, to God's word, and say, what does the word say about that? You know, in scriptures, they have what's called the Urim Thummim. How many knows what the Urim Thummim is? They had a Urim Thummim, and it was a breastplate that they'd put over it. They'd have prophecies and things that'd come by, and they'd speak the prophecies across. And if it lit up, then they knew it was of the Lord. And if it didn't light up, then they knew it was not of God. We've got a Urim Thummim today. And this is our Urim Thummim. If we ever get an idea, if we ever hear a prophecy come back that people speaks, and people speak a doctrine, we need to see if it lights up in God's Word. Because if it don't light up, we need to stay away from it. You say amen. We get thoughts. We get ideas. We can't do nothing about that. We get thoughts come across our mind all day long. Amen. Men's always getting a good idea and consult his own thoughts and is more worried about what man thinks than what God thinks about it. If you're going to make a decision in your life, no matter what the decision is, a lot of times we want to consult our friends about it. What do you think about it? I'm thinking about buying a car. Think about buying this car. I always go to that because I sell cars for a while. I think about buying a car. What do you think about it? What do you think about it? I actually had customers ask me while they're doing the car deal, I'm thinking about buying the car, but what do you think I should do? I said, well, I'll tell you what you should do. I said, and this is the honest truth. I tell them, you need to look at your source. What am I paying for? What do I want? Can I afford it? And will it be a blessing to me in the Lord? Honest truth. And there's been times I've actually sent people home rather than selling them a car, knowing that I get paid by selling cars. I'm going to tell you what, you do things with integrity, God will bless you 100-fold.
I want you to remember that, friends, no matter what you're doing, whether you're at school, whether you're at work, you do it with integrity, God will bless it. That's right. On your idle time, when you use your idle time and use it wisely and use it as a good steward, God will bless you for your time. A lot of times we want to consult our friends, we want to consult our neighbor, what should I do about this? And many people will do that with the Word. You know, I feel convicted because it says I shouldn't be doing certain things. When they say preach, I shouldn't do certain things. I should do this, I shouldn't do that. You know, I feel really convicted. Friend, Johnny, what do you think about it? Now, they say that I can be healed. And I got prayed for. They prayed for me. They said I'm healed. Do you think I'm healed? Do you think I received it? I think I got saved. I think I've got the life in me. Do I have it? And they want to consult their friends about it. I'm talking about humanity. That's the way we are. We're built that way. We want to ask. But see, God wants us to consult Him. And you consult God face to face. And you fellowship God, lip to ear to God, and say, God, what do you think about it? And I'm telling you what, God will change. Because His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. This guy right here is your worst enemy. The first guy, it's not my wife. My wife is not my enemy. My boys are not my enemy. They drink all the tea, but they're not my enemy. We are our worst enemy. And this is our battleground. Because you will start your day out fresh. You'll put your foot forward. You say, I'm going to serve the Lord today. I'm going to have a good attitude today. I'm going to be positive today. And that devil will fight your mind all day long. And that's your battleground. Amen? Man has best intentions. When truth was given in an age, people would see a revival. And they would have best intentions. They say, you know what? We've got this fire through Luther. We've got this great message. We've got this justification by faith. This is the truth. Let's build a fence around this and let's protect this. Because this is the truth of our day. Let's protect this. Let's hold it. Let's put a fence around it. Let's hold this truth up. Good intentions. But you know, as soon as they denominated, they died. As soon as we put a period on what God's done in our life, we die. How many knows God wants to keep working in your life? Precept upon precept. Line upon line. One word upon another. God wants to keep working in your life and keep molding in your life. But as soon as we put a period, God can't use us no more. We have to raise that period and say, God, I don't want to stop here. I don't want to stop on my journey here. I want to keep going forward. Whenever I was coming to this church today, this morning, I seen Van Buren exit right here. I could stop at that sign, get out of the van, say, come on, kids, let's get out. And see the sign there and say, we have arrived. We're at Van Buren. We have arrived. Get excited, kids, we're arrived. But we ain't got there. We just seen a sign. We got as far as a sign and we stopped. We said, no, when this ain't it, get back in, kids. We got to keep going a little further. We go up to the corner up here and I see Spirit Truth Assembly this way. Get out of the van. We have arrived. Get excited, kids. We're here. We have arrived. We are Spirit Truth Assembly because here's the sign. Still haven't arrived. Signs are wonderful. Miracles are wonderful. What are you saying, Brother Daniel? When you see miracles in your life, those are wonderful. When you see healings in your life, that's wonderful. When you've cast out devils in your life, those are wonderful. But those are just signs. Keep going forward. Keep moving further in the light. Amen? Keep pressing further in the light. Because I'm telling you what, there's greater things to come. In the message of the hour, careful, friends, that we don't do like they've been in the past ages and build a fence around what we've got. We build a fence around it and say, this is it. There's no more messages to come. Don't misunderstand me. There's no more messages to come. But we've got our revelation of this message. Don't stop there and say, God, open up my mind to what you want me to see. Don't let me stay right here. We have the most glorious message of the hour. Don't let me stay right here when I can be here. Because that's where we're going to overcome is by revelation. Being able to look in the Word and soar. Brother Branham said it's stimulation by revelation. You take a stimulation by revelation, what is that? It's whenever you can take a scripture, you can read a scripture, you can look into that, and something on the inside of that message lights up and it puts a fire in your heart. Amen. Have you ever heard in a sermon where something spoke and something inside your heart just lights up and you're like, oh, that's right. What is it? Stimulation or revelation? Brother Branham said, if you're ever going through a service and you're having need of healing, and someone he's a child. He said, if a child has need of healing, he said, through the service, you listen to the preaching of the word. He said, when that thing lights up, he said, you put your hand on that baby right then, on your loved one right then, when you feel that. And he said, and you see God move. But you remember that any time you're going through something in your life and you're really struggling, you need God to move in your life through the preaching of the word. When as soon as you listen to it, right then, you grab onto it, right then. He said, God, I claim it in Jesus' name. Brother Bram said, you know, when you're going through a service and you feel a pull in your heart to come to the altar, he said, don't wait till the end of the service. You go right then. As soon as you feel that pull in your heart, you go right then. When you're going down the road, or if you're at home, wherever you're at, and God puts a pull in your heart to pray, to reach out to Him, right then. You reach out to God right then. Don't wait no longer. Because that might be your last chance. Amen. See, that's where I feel like the message, knowing a lot about the message, has crippled a lot of people. Because they say, well, if I'm eternal, if I'm one of them, I've always been one of them. So that means I can't be lost. If I'm one of them, I've always been one of them. Well, you are, you have. But your attitude toward that shows that. Amen. If grace abound, then why not sin? Scripture says, so should I sin willfully since sin abound? God forbid. Yeah, I've got grace. I've got grace to forgive me, but just because my wife would probably forgive me if I was to fall and I was to cheat on her. But I would never use that grace as an opportunity to go out and cheat. Amen? Can you say amen? 10 times more than that. I believe that if I was sincere in my heart, not pouring my heart out to her and said, baby, I'm sorry, I don't know how it did. I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't know how it happened. I believe she would surely forgive me. But I would never do it because I love her so much. On the inside of me, there's something, a love for her so much. And it's 10 times the magnitude of that, our love for God. Will God forgive me if I fall down today because I'm going to make mistakes? Will God forgive me? I believe He will when I'm sincere before my heart. When I consecrate my heart and say, God, forgive me. I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I made that mistake. One moment I was here, and next thing I know, I'd fallen. God, I don't know how I feel. I believe God would forgive me. But I'm not going to use that as a ticket to living the way I want to. And I'm telling you what, that's what a lot of preachers have done today. They've given a license to sin. They've given a license to where God loves you. God loves all of His children. God loves you. Just worship God. Do you feel good in your heart? So praise God. They won't preach about the way you live. They won't preach the way, you know, the way we approach the word. It's just feelings. Do you feel good? How many knows in a marriage, when you first get together, you're in the courtship and you're in the process of being engaged, and oh my goodness, the bubbles that flows through your stomach, all the good thoughts that come through your mind, you don't care about work, you don't care about nothing. All I know is I get 5 more minutes of her time. Come on, brothers. Can you say amen? That wasn't very proper. Come on, brother, is that right?
Amen.
There we go, I like that. Make them sisters feel good. You know, whenever you have a love for her, and a wife has a love for her husband, she's doing the things she does. Whatever, you sisters are so busy, I don't know how you do what you do. You're just built for it. But they'll be doing the things they do, and she's thinking by herself, it's 5 more minutes of his time. She don't care about anything else. I'm going to talk to him on the phone. It may be 11:30 at night. I'm so tired I can't hardly keep my eyes open. Only thing I can think about is I want to hear his voice one more time. She'll pick up that phone and she'll listen to that strong voice. And just, hello. And that those butterflies in her stomach would just light up and say, ooh, I love that voice. And she's so tired, she's exhausted. She's done all these things. Only thing she can think about is that love. Listen to that voice. What is it? It's a love on the inside. It's a love to be with Him. It's a longing to be with Him. And it's like that first love that we have when we come to the gospel. 5 more minutes of prayer. 5 more minutes I can be in the presence of God. 5 minutes I can just be in there and just, oh my, I love that presence. How many knows that feeling when you're going down the road and you feel the inspiration, just like butterflies in your stomach when you think about just singing a song? And you start singing that song. It's just something on the inside. It just radiates out. It's like, oh, that feels so good. worshiping God, and you sing that song, what is it? There's a thirst on the inside of here to worship. And you begin to worship and you're by yourself. There's no reason to sing, but there's something on the inside bubbling. And you say, God, I got to sing. And I say, one of them, I'm so glad that I can sing one of them. And there's just a burning on the inside. What is it? It's God put a God-given thirst on the inside of you for worship, and you're doing what He told you to do. And you start to worship, and all of a sudden you start feeling good again. You know, worship is powerful. Paul and Silas were in prison, had chains on them, and they were bound, and they began to sing of all things, and the chains began to fall. Could you imagine listening to ABC News or looking on the headlines and said men were bound by chains, tied into prison, the greatest criminals on earth to the world, and they escaped. And everyone's listening about how did they escape? Did they bring a bazooka? Did they bring a bomb? Did they have a grenade? Did someone dig underneath the cell and pull them out? How did they escape? And the reporter says, no. They sung. What? Guys were in chains. They were bound. And how did you say they got free? That's right. They sung. Sung? Singing lit from their mouth? Singing words from their heart and chains fell off? Yep, they did. That's impossible. Well, with man, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? You know, you can feel like you've got all these chains on you. Such bondage. I'm so bound. I'm in my mind. I'm not happy. I'm so depressed. And it seems like I can't gain ground. And every time I try to take a step forward, it's like I'm 10 steps backwards. I'm bound. I've got chains on me. I want to believe. You're like where David said, Lord, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. There's something on the inside that says, God, I believe it. But then on the inside, I feel like I don't believe. And you feel, how can I do it? I want to overcome. I want to see God move. You know how you do it? Sing. You start singing to God and say, Lord, I lift your name, your holy name. Did you feel that? Did you feel that? You know what that was? That was the presence of God dropping down just like that. Try buying that with money. Can't buy it. It's without money, without price, just like we read the scriptures. That is something that we've got with us everywhere we go. I didn't sing more than two lines, and you feel the presence of God come down. Now, we don't just go by feelings. Blind people go by feelings, but I'm going to ask you, who really felt that? That's a power that we have on the inside. That great power that I have is greater than any bazooka you've ever seen. That's our greatest power is worship. He inhabits the praise of His people. But it's not just worship, friend. It's spirit and truth. When you have the word and the worship. Amen? Well, we can walk in truth and you say, God, I believe it. Take this word and you apply it to your life and you take a step in that. And it's dark in here and I've got a lantern and I can't see him. Where I'm going in the mountains, it's just like that. It's kind of tough because I don't know a lick of Spanish. I know baño, gracias, Dios le bendiga. And that's bathroom, God bless you. And I can't remember what the other one was. So you see what kind of shape I'm in? I'm nervous when I go there and I can't speak a lick of Spanish. I'm depending on my interpreter to guide me. It's dark. You can't see nothing. Beautiful stars. You're looking around. You can't see any lights. All I've got is this little lantern that I've got, and it has got batteries in it, and I'm praying to God they hold up. And I'm walking through there, and it's dark, and I'm taking one step at a time. And every time I take a step, I can see a little further. And that's what we got to do. When you take your step to the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm taking my step now. I'm going to take a step towards you. I've heard the truth. I'm going to take my step towards you, and you start worshiping God. You see if God will fill that worship barrier that you've done, He'll fill it 10 times more than it did last time. And it's another chamber. It's like having a back of a truck. You've got all these buckets that fill with water. And you've only got certain ones that'll be filled until you start making more things right. You start changing things. You start moving things. And you'll take the lid off another bucket. And God will fill that other bucket up. I want to take the lids off all of my buckets in my life and say, God, you filled every bucket. I want you to go in every room of my life, every part of my life. God, I want you to look in there, search me, God, and I want every lid taken off. If there's anything in me that's keeping you from moving in my life, God, move it out of the way. God wants to use us. You know, one of the greatest ways for you to grow in the Lord is be used by Him. Is that right? Be used by the Lord. I can take this arm right here and put a cast on it. Nothing wrong with it. It's healthy. I can put a cast on this arm and put it in my sling and walk around just like that. Nothing's wrong with it. Put it in my sling and leave it just like that. And let me do that for about a year. And that arm right there will be just about just as deformed as you ever seen. A little puny, punier than it already is. It'll be useless. Nothing was wrong with it at first, but you know what it was? I didn't use it. God wants to use us. And for us to be used by the Lord, we have to seek God and say, God, I want to come to you with an open heart. Use me today. Use me to reach out to somebody. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God had a prophet and the people didn't consult him. They wanted their own way. They had their own idea about the matter. And today, everyone has their own opinion about the Scriptures. Well, I just don't quite believe the Bible like that. I believe it like this. Do you know 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture has a private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God, as they spoke and were moved by the Holy Ghost. God gave us an absolute in this hour. And that's why truth is being so mishandled the last days, is because that when God's trying to get His program in, people have already denominated themselves often so much. Think about that. People have already denominated themselves often so much. They build up fences so that the Holy Spirit can't get in there, keeping Him out. We want God to keep us in the very condition we're in. See, we can build a fence because we want to keep God in, but we actually keep God out when we do that. Many are sitting in prisoners chained to defeat. There are many wounded soldiers of war that need the right kind of medicine. You know, in the Civil War, one of the greatest deaths that killed the people was not from being shot. It was actually from infection. People got shot and got infected, and they'd probably been fine. They actually got shot and they weren't even quite infected yet. They went in there, and these doctors that weren't trained in what they should do, they began to, this is history, what history says. They said that the doctor would have a bloody knife from working on one man over here and sawing his leg and the things he would do and blood all over his apron, blood all over his wrist and everything. He'd take care of this guy and he'd go right to the next soldier and put his nasty hands all inside that soldier and he'd have the knife in his mouth, this bloody knife, and he'd go to working. And he was cross-contaminating everybody. An infection. And I've got a printout here. I did. I left it back there. That's all right. In the printout here, it was telling of exactly how many soldiers they've seen that these men would actually have an infection cross-contaminating from one to another. And how I think about this, friends, you know that the congregation, when you come to church, it's like a hospital. You've been wounded. You've been shot. You've been cut. Because we have to fight a war. We're fighting a real battle. When you go out there, you've got trained men all around you looking at you, shooting at you. Not men of spirits, evil spirits. Training you all the time. And you're bruised up. You're cut up. You're beat up. They're taking you to the hospital and says, okay, we're going to get you to the hospital. We're going to get you to the meeting, and you're going to be okay. And then when you get to the meeting and hear that, this man is he's so infected. When he goes there, and you leave worse off than when you left. You go to the meeting, and you leave worse off than when you left. I can remember when I was 15 years old. There was a play called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. Anybody ever heard that? Scariest play I'd ever seen in my life. I was 15 years old when I heard that, seen that play, and it scared me to death. And I went up to that altar and I said, I want to make things right. I don't know how to be saved. I want you to tell me how to be saved. And the preacher wouldn't. He said, I don't have the time to work with you right now, son. He said, let one of these other people come talk to you. And these other people come to me and they said, all you have to do is sign this right here. And they gave me this card to sign. And I felt like if I was to touch that pencil, it would just been a curse to me. I looked at that and I said, there's got to be more than this. They says, no, that's all you got to do. All you got to do, man, is just be good. That's it. That's all you got to do. Live a good life. That's it. That's 15 years old. I said, no. I said, there's got to be more than that. And I said, no, that's it. Just be a good person. That's all you got to do. I walked away more lost than I was before I ever got there. And there was a hunger on the inside for God. And I thought I'd went to the source to get filled. But then when I got there, they said, this is the remedy you got to take. And it just did not set well. See, it's more than signing a book. It's more than joining a club. It's more than just joining somewhere. It's being born. Something on the inside burning. In the Civil War, and many times it's today, and many times there are more people wounded because of preachers than any other thing in the world. Because when they come to get help, they come to the source, they say, you don't have to worry about those things. You don't have to take this medicine. Don't listen to that. Those doctors will tell you, you have to take this medicine. Don't have to worry about that. This one tastes a whole lot better. It tastes like grape. They've got medicines that taste so good nowadays. Some. They've got some that taste so good, but it don't do you any good. They'll say, you don't have to take this medicine. You don't have to do this with your hair. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Just live a good life. Just join the club. That's all you got to do. You're great. You're a part of this great brotherhood. We'll get you to, eventually we'll get you to college and we'll get you this degree and then you can be a pastor. Yeah, but I have to do these. I've got these. Don't worry about that. Those things don't matter. As long as you love the Lord, that's what matters. This is what's going on today. Brother Branham said this, and I'm coming close to the end. This is the point I wanted to get to. I remember that night before I seen that. I seen the preview of the bride. I stood there and I seen a beautiful lady, just correctly dressed, marching this way. There was something standing by me in the vision. And I seen, they said, the preview of the bride. I seen her go by. They come on this side and went around. And I heard up, the church was going up from the other side. And there come the Asian church. Oh, you talk about filth. There come the European church. Oh my. Then I heard a rock and roll coming. And it was Miss America, the church. And she didn't even have on any clothes. She had papers like newspapers, gray, holding in front of her, dancing by rock and roll, Miss America, the church. I stood there in his presence. I thought, oh God, as a minister, that's been best we can do. You know how you feel. Then I thought, God, hide me. If I could get away from here, if all that we've done, if that's all we've done, that's what we produced, and that's it. And then when them women pass by, all doing all kinds of rocks and things, and short hair, painted faces. And as they pass by, that's supposed to be the virgins to Christ. And then she passed by like that, I turned my head, you know, with just holding that in front of me. It was disgraceful. The back of them, there was going on like that, and I turned my head to weeping like that. I said, I couldn't stand there. I'm standing there. We know that me, a minister of the church, that's what I'm produced for Him? Oh God, I can't look at it. Let me die. Let me fade away like that. And as soon as it went out, every time one of them would come, they'd go out to a certain place and drop off. I'd just hear the sound as if it went away. And I heard something like, onward Christian soldiers. And I looked and there come that sainted bunch of little girls. Just exactly the way they was. All correctly dressed.
their hair hanging way down their back, smooth, clean, marching like this to the step of the gospel. She was the Word. It looked like out of every nation. I looked as if they were passing by and seeing them pass by. Instead of going down, they started going up. And I noticed one of them saying, two or three of them getting out of line. And I screamed, stay in line. And the vision left me. And I was standing in a room saying, stay in line, stay in line. Wonder, could it be already passed? Could the bride already be called? Is that what we're going through today? She has to be molded and made into the image of Christ. And Christ is the Word. That's the only thing, see? It's in there in the Word. It's just, see, there cannot be one thing added. It can't be a woman with one hand like a man and the other hand like a paw, like a dog. It's got to be exactly the Word of the Lord, like He is the Word. The bride is a part of the bridegroom. The woman is a part of the husband because she's taken out of the husband. Eve was taking part of Adam from his side, and so is the bride. Not taken from a denomination, but taken from the bosom of the Word of this day. A Word of this day. And one last quote here. That's the way God does it, you know. Oh my. He's talking about the eagle. Watching the eagle putting the nest up there for the babies. That's the way God does it, you know. Oh my. When you're first saved, don't you feel good walking that little fine fuzz, you know. Oh my. Them little tender feet, you know. Just good. Oh, that's real good. Oh, how Papa walks them down the nest and them little ones are born looking at them. Oh, you ever saw him strut, throw his shoulders back and strut looking at those little ones? You take a father watching his son, he'll put his shoulders back and say, that's my boy. And this Papa Eagle was looking at his babies in the nest, and he's walking around this nest looking at his young with his shoulders back. Oh, look, they look just like me. That's right. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do. You can drink of the cup of persecution, being made fun of and called Beelzebub like me. Yes, I can do that. He's asking them. Can you do this? Yes. Can you baptize in the Spirit I'm baptized? Yes. Just like me, looking at the little ones, you see, oh, how he struts. Now, what if all at once one of them little fellows would happen to be a crow, fly up the nest and holler, caw, caw, caw? That's a hybrid. That's what's the matter today. We got too many hybrid buzzards and crows in the nest and not real eagles that believe. Too much hybrid religion trying to mix oil and water together, it won't mix. You know what would happen? If that little crow jumped out there and hollered, caw, 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 miracles are past. No such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All this is fanaticism. He'd kick him out of there. What would happen to him up in that nest then? He'd disintegrate, for he got down among the chickens. He sure would. No, sir. Papa Eagle, they look just like him. They believe the same thing he does. They look like him. Yes, sir. They're made like him. They're built like him. And he knows they're genuine eagles. I believe we're genuine eagles. Can you say amen? Yes. Oh my, that's what God wants. Genuine Messiah is. This is the climax of what I want to give. He is Messiah. Messiah is the anointed one. We are his children, which have lesser anointed. So we are Jehovah Eagle, his great eagle. We're eaglets. He's Messiah, and we are, with the same anointing, our Messiah Eds. Amen? Anointed. Messiah means anointed one. Are you anointed? Amen. What with? The same Spirit that he was anointed with. We have in this, and in measure, he has it without measure. He was God manifest in the flesh, and we're sons of God, parts of him. Come on, yes, sir. The very works that I do, you are also. That father eagle will look down on it. He's so proud of them. And he says, they look just like me. And I believe that's the way God's looking at us this morning. He's saying, they look just like me. Do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Do you believe in divine healing? Amen. Do you believe he's the same yesterday, and today, and forever? Amen. I believe. Let's let the musicians come. We're Messiah-ites. If you want to look at the babies of a German Shepherd, you shouldn't be looking for a little chihuahua.
When you've got a German Shepherd going to give babies, they're going to be baby German Shepherds. Is that right? If you got a cat that's going to have babies, they're kittens. Dogs have puppies. Cats have kittens. Women have humans. Frogs have frogs or tadpoles. God has gods. And you take that little baby, when you look at him for the first time, you look at him and you look right in his eyes. Something on the inside of you says, he looks just like me. A father's got such a love for him. And you walk out those doors for the first time because your baby's been born, and your arm is the strongest arm in the world. Because you've got your baby. And you're walking out there, and all the family, you know, as everybody's watching out there, they're waiting anxiously to see the baby. They don't care about the father. They want to see the baby. You walking through there and you've got him, and he is so mesmerized. He don't even see what's going on around him. The only thing he sees is his baby. And he's walking and he's beholding his baby. And I'm telling you, friends, that's the way God is this morning. God is beholding us. He's got us in his hands. He's looking at us. And he's looking at the desire of our heart when we say, God, I want to be like that. I want to serve you, God. I want to please you, God, from an honest heart, Lord. I just want to be right with you, Lord. Search my heart, Lord. When you're looking to God with the right attitude, the right approach, God is looking at you right then and saying, he looks just like me. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. Can you say amen? I want God to search my heart this morning and say, God, search me. God, I want to look like you, Lord. I want to walk like you. I want to please you. And Lord, I know I make mistakes. I know I keep falling down. God, search my heart today. Lord, help me make things right. You say amen. Let's all stand.
You know, I read a story one time. This man had a violin that he had made. His violin was in the auction. And he stuck this violin up there and he said, who will give me $10? $10 for the violin this morning. Who will give me $10? And nobody would speak up. $15. Come on, guys. This is the violin. This is the violin of violins. $15. He'll give me $15 for the violin. Nobody would bid on it. He go back down to $5. $5 this violin. $2. $1. And here come an old man walking from the back. And he was just hump-shouldered. And he was barely moving. And he took that old violin. And he stuck that violin on his shoulder. And he began to play that old violin. And the most beautiful sound you ever heard in your life. See, he was the one that created that violin. And so he knew how to play it the best. And you know, ourselves, we can look at ourselves and we can say, you know what? I've tried to play this old life myself so many times. I've tried to play the tune and it don't play. Let God get a hold of you one time. God made you. Let God get a hold of your life one time and let God begin to play that. And let God begin to work in your life. This man began to play this piano and tears began to come out of people's eyes in the building. And he said, $10, $15, $100, $500. And everyone began to bid on the violin because they seen when the creator of it got a hold of it. They found out that it was a masterpiece. The masterpiece in the hand that made it. We are God's workmanship. God's working on our life. God's the one that did the molding. God's the one doing the things in our life. Let God play you. Don't let the world play your song.
Don't let the world get a hold of you, because he'll give you false impressions, false all this nonsense. Sin's beautiful for a season. You let God get a hold of you and say, God, I'm going to give you a chance this morning. I want you to play my life, God. Let God play a song from you. I'm going to ask everyone to just bow your heads right now.
We've tried it our way. Won't you let God do it this time? Won't you let God play your life? Let God get a hold of you and let him do the things. I'm going to open the altar up for you. If anyone has need of prayer, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Every head bowed. Can we sing that song in his time?
In his time.
Something in there that can fill it. In the scripture, as we read in a quote, he's made us Messiah is. We've got, if you take one little cup of water out of that ocean and you hold it in the cup, and you've got the ocean, it's just as much ocean in either one. That's just a greater amount of it. And that's the same way it is when you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of your life. And you can stand your ground and say, you know what, I've got the same life in me. If you have the same spirit in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Amen.
Show me everything.
sing one upbeat song. It's a little bit. And all of you know me well enough that I'm not a singer. But I like to make a joyful noise. And the song I want to sing is a song the way I sing it. And I just know one of these times I'm going to go to a meeting and there's going to be some good singers get up and sing that song. It's going to be completely different than the way I sing it. But this is Daniel's song. Amen. I'm going to sing a song led by the Spirit just before we close. You know, being led by the Spirit. Because I believe we need to be led by the Lord. Do you believe that? I believe God wants to lead us. So if you think you can follow me, do. But if you don't even worry about it. And my children know the song. They know the way I sing it. And I just want to encourage them to, and I usually don't go by all those words, so. This is Daniel's song. Led by the Spirit, following God. Led by the Spirit, all the sons of God. Listen real closely, sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, He'll never fail you.
So you find the song, you find the words on there?
Somebody chopped that wrong, didn't they? All right, here we go.
Led by the Spirit, following God. Led by the Spirit, all the sons of God. Listen real closely, real sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, He'll never fail you. Led by the Spirit, following God. Led by the Spirit, all the sons of God. Listen real closely, real sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, He'll never fail you.
One more time.
Led by the Spirit, following God. Led by the Spirit, all the sons of God. Listen real closely, real sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, He'll never fail you. Roads may grow narrow and skies turn gray. Troubles surround you, can't seem to pray. But listen real closely, real sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, He'll never fail you. Led by the Spirit, following God. Led by the Spirit, all the sons of God. Listen real closely, real sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, He'll never fail you. Roads may grow narrow and skies turn gray. Troubles surround you can seem to pray. But listen real closely, real sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, He'll never fail you.
Amen. I want to tell you how I got that. One of those words I've changed with myself, and I did it on purpose. Whenever I, especially when I go on a missions trip and think, and when I preach, it's hard for me to put everything out exactly the way I do. I just have to be led in what I do. And a lot of times when I'm on the missions field, I get real nervous because I get the language barriers and where am I going to go? What am I going to say when I get there? Because, you know, I don't want to go there and feel like I fell on my face. I want it to be God's ministry. And so when I'm singing a song, there'll be some times when I'm trying to pray, it seems like the roads are so cloudy, I can't see. And that's where, Lord, I want to be able to see. And so I'd say, but I know if I keep being led by you, roads may grow narrow, skies will turn gray, but I don't know if I keep led by the Lord, He'll lead the way. So I want you to sing this song with me again. I want you to enjoy it the way I enjoy it. Amen. Let's start with led by the Spirit.
Led by the Spirit, following God. Led by the Spirit, all the sons of God. Listen real closely, real sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, He'll never fail you. Roads may grow narrow, skies turn gray, troubles surround you, can't seem to pray. But listen real closely, real sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, He'll never fail you. Led by the Spirit, following God. Led by the Spirit, all the sons of God. Listen real closely, be sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, He'll never fail you.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. You would swear that she was the master of the player, because she did that just perfectly, didn't she? And if you can play for me, sister, you can play for anybody. I want you to know I love you very much, and I want to ask you to really be praying for me for this trip, okay? And I want you to understand, anytime I preach it from my heart. I want to see you grow in the Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's never to hurt you. Sometimes you may say, well, Brother Daniel, I hate when you preach about those things. I do it because I love you. Amen. I do it because I love you, because it's the truth. And then just, anybody have a need of prayer before we go, before we close the service? Let's just let's just close in prayer. We'll let her sing a song or play a song. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you so much for the service you gave us today, Lord. I thank you for this congregation, Lord, you've allowed me to join, Lord. And Father, you know the nervousness that I feel in my stomach, Lord, of knowing the trip I'm fixing to take, Lord. I ask you that you will help me, Lord. Lord, search my heart, Lord, if there be anything, Lord, that'll hinder, Lord, help me to move those things out of the way, God. And help us to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, not trying to preach any of my own ideas, but Lord, preaching exactly what the prophet gave us in the South, what the Word has given us, Lord. God, I ask you to bless this precious congregation, Lord. Encourage them in your faith, Lord. Lord, help them to grow, Lord, and be led by you. And Lord, be able to see themselves growing in the Word, Lord, because it's so good when you can see yourself growing, Lord. Lord God, I ask you to help them in everything, Lord. Bless our pastor, Lord. Lord, and the Lanes, Lord Jesus, their families, God, as they're traveling, Lord. I ask you to be with them. Bless their services. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.